back, and three of us.
Just the three of us.
You know, like...
You and I.
You know, you've been hearing some technical difficulties all around. And so, therefore, we are slowly coming back to our regular form. And once we can figure out how to, you know, fully... we can't even fully form Voltron because there's five of them, but...
We can form a Megazord from a season that only had three Rangers.
This is true.
Yeah,
and then with an extra
Dino Thunder on this. Dino Thunder.
Yeah. I was going Ninja Storm because it's cool, but okay.
Dino Charge.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
You got a Black Pearl in there. All right, let's go.
Hey,
there you go. Oh, that does work better. Which one of us?
Oh, I'm like a certain Ninja Steel toy pack.
Okay. Because normally, like, in the pre-show that you guys never hear, or maybe hear, because, like, there might be a blooper that's funny, you know, we usually run down what we're going to talk about, and I forgot that Jeremiah has a toy rant that he wants to deliver to the people.
There's so much.
There's a toy rant.
I added a nice little piece for you at the end there today.
But first, we're going to talk... You know, a little bit of news, you know, a little bit of review, and then we get in, then a little bit of toys, and then we'll get to the Ninja Steel, all right? So, the little bit of news is, Power Morphicon, hey, there are hotels, y'all, what up? Woo! And they've announced a couple of guests. I mean, some guests that we already knew that were going to be like Walter Jones.
Oh, what guests?
Like Walter Jones, we already knew that you would be there. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Like Jessica Ray and, you know, and some of the Wild Force folks, like, you know, like, okay, you know, we're gonna be there. Fine.
Pineapple the Clown yet?
No mention of Pineapple Clown yet, you guys.
Oh,
so
dang.
No. Gotta get his autograph.
So you gotta get scared by the Pineapple the Clown guy. But you know, so yes, you already figure that are going to be there, that sort of thing.
Flasher in the Park from Oyster Stew. Come on, Flasher in the Park.
That's the guy I want. F Pineapple the Clown. I want that guy.
Stupid.
It's Angela, though. Bring Angela.
Oh my gosh, I would love... Oh my gosh, if anybody can find Angela... Like, you don't understand. Just find all the black folk, right, that were like... Like, right there on the precipice of being a ranger, but they were like, nah, son. Yeah, so...
Anybody that got to be related to Zach or Aisha for a week.
All of them.
Aisha's grandma.
Grandma, yes!
I'm not saying she's still alive.
Bring the locket.
Yes. Anybody, right? Like, just, yo, Angela, Curtis, R.I.P. Richie, right? Richie did die, right? He did die, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, we need Adele. Let's be real.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Like
no, but no.
Guest.
Wait, man, she didn't die.
No, she fake died on Scrubs.
Oh, but she's alive and well?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Yeah, she died on Scrubs, and then they brought in, like, her cousin, who was her.
Stupid. Okay. So we need to find these people. I am not even joking. You don't understand. It'll make my life. Okay. But yes, the hotels. No, you see, you guys, if you guys aren't aware, and you should be aware, that Power Morphicon is not going to be in the regular old Pasadena, California that we all love and enjoy. No, it's going to be in Anaheim. And since it's going to be in Anaheim, and not only in Anaheim, but across the way from Disneyland, you know, hotels are going to be a little pricey. Just a tad. Just a smidge. You know, so I'm going to just tell all y'all just to, you know, for the folks that need to save y'all coins, you know, save a little bit more coins and, you know, get them hotels when you need them, you know, but, you know, don't just save your little coins, y'all.
Just don't limit your search to the official hotel if you're looking to save money.
Yeah, like, unless you really need to, like, be, like, right next to the convention for, like, because you're, like, you know, you can't, like, walk that far for whatever reason, whatever, totally get that. But if you're able, maybe stay, like, 5-10 minutes away. Airbnb is totally a thing. Like, Lyft is totally a thing. Like,
shh, why
can make it happen.
Telling them the secret? secrets of the Airbnb.
Well, I'm not gonna tell them where to stay though.
Yeah, if you're the guy walking around in like the 10-foot-tall Megazord costume, you probably want to stay there. Probably want to be close by. But you know, if you're just a dude, just some people.
Yeah, I'm a dude.
You're just a dude, you know. You can hoof it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have like 5 billion pounds of video gear, probably want to stay in the hotel, in the official one. Probably. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Lisa?
Nah. No. Of course not.
Hey, DMC3, we walked. We walked.
We did. And then we had a... Well, wait a minute. No, wait. Which one? This is 5, right?
4.
We've done 5. 5 total have happened.
Yes.
So now we're at 6.
At 6.
3 was the one I missed.
Okay. Okay. Yes, because you were here for 2. Yes, you were here for 2. Yes. Yeah, so last year...
Who was the crap show?
Last year, we didn't stay in the official hotels per se. Mm-hmm. However, we had a very helpful friend. Yo, shut up, Big Duck! Who helped us out mm-hmm. in need with all my gear. And so we were able to facilitate some things, you know what I mean? Facilitate some things. We'll talk about them things, you know, they're coming out next year, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, next year's, you know, 25th anniversary, you know what I mean? So we got to get this anniversary popping, you know.
Because Saban won't.
Get some brand spanking new interviews for some, you know, some casts and stuff, you know what I'm saying? You know, a little teaser, you know what I'm saying? So, but we're not here to talk about just hotel stuff or whatever, you know. We're also here to talk about the possibilities of what other events that could happen during Powermorphicon. Because, you know, the Anaheim Convention Center, it's very big. It's huge. It's
huge.
Mm-hmm. Huge. Huge. So
huge.
So I'm wondering what could possibly happen during Powermorphicon. The first Powermorphicon, when it was at the Wilshire Grand, RIP Wilshire Grand.
Oh, rising graduation.
You know, it was a graduation of Hispanic brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Just randomly walking through the hall.
Just, you know, so you have cosplay folks in their full head-to-toe suits and colorful outfits, and then you had people graduating. Same time. It was wonderful. It was great. At the Pasadena Convention Center, I don't think there were other events per se happening at the same time. We were just all relegated in the basement, and then we started like, you know,
going growing. Above ground.
Yes.
Allowed to interact with the normals.
With the normies. So
you see, like these whole like someone else being at a convention center. The one that springs to mind for me was LexCon, where they always had like Disney
the gun
Princess
show.
On Ice.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, it was always Disney on Ice and the gun show. So there would be a gun show happening.
I remember walking through the hotel across the street in LexCon, and there was like dream catchers and whittling and other sort of foolishness.
Yes. Yeah, there was always something at Lexington. There was always some other little festival or little conference that was going on, you know, which is, you know, it's fun. It's great. It's a big place. Mm-hmm. So I'm just picturing, because, you know, the convention center, it's huge. Like, it has 3 big halls, you know, I mean, 3. I'm lying. It has 5 big halls plus an arena, and then there are different floors that like have little breakout rooms and that sort of thing. So there's no way that PMC can fit all of us all up in there. We are not going to take up all that space. Okay.
Pineapple the Clown in the arena.
The arena.
2 p.m.
What? What'd he do? No. So
maybe,
I don't.
Maybe
so
the
maybe,
Mighty Ducks will show up.
Maybe.
Yo.
Maybe.
Don't joke like that.
Hey, if Emilio Estevez shows up, what have you been up to?
You know, like, he, you know, he could bring his sister, Gloria. I mean, we could get the sound machine up in there. I'm just saying. We could have a party. We could take it back to the '90s. It's all good.
But she can, she can open. She can open for Tanya Stick Together. It'll be great. It'll be great.
Can you imagine that, like, Gloria? You have a legend, right? She with the congas and everything, whatever thing, and like she's like, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, and now introducing your main event, Miss Tanya Sloan. Like, no, like, I don't. And then, like, with the little, like, Casio keyboard, like, back in the day, bing, da bing, da bing, da bing, bing, da bing, da bing, Stick Together.
You know what? I like that song better than Fly High at Angel Grove High. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I mean, duh. Like, you know, they were younger teenagers, right? So they had to grow in their musical talents, okay? All right? They were taking on the limits and the obstacles, okay? So, yeah, no, I don't think that would happen with legendary Gloria and being the opening act for a fictional character. Don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, no, so like, no, I'm just on the calendar. I'm just saying, oh, like, what possibly could, and it's not in stone. Like the lieutenant, it's not in stone, but possibly it might be possible that there would be a gymnastics meet or something that's going on at the same time, so you'll be seeing a lot of little girls running around in their little spandex attire, you know.
So it's the Disney on Ice thing again. All right.
Oh boy.
But it's possible. It might not, you know, it might not be. It might be a...
See, when I saw that, I thought it was going to be, like legit gymnastics or whatever. Like, it was going to be, like, you know, like, powerhouse people competing for the Olympics or something.
Nah,
like it's, that.
Nah, like, it's... These people are, like... Because, like, there's, like, a camp. Or they have camps, and they have, like, you know, like, you have your training camps, you know, whatever. But... And then they have invitationals. Where the little girls come together and then they compete against each other and like, look, I got another trophy that makes no difference in my life. You know, that sort of thing.
They gotta learn to stick together, all right?
Don't those real tours only really happen like right after the Olympics when everybody still has fever for it? And then they send like, you know, the little girl dream team.
You are not in the circle of the gymnastic world, y'all. Like, it's like the dance world. Like, there isn't a season where it ends. Like, they're just different seasons. Like, it is hardcore.
They continue to bring it on.
They continue.
They're in it to win it.
It's already been brought in.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, indeed. But yeah, no, it could pretty much be all year long that these little girls are like doing their gymnastics and doing meets and this and that sort of thing and just all preparing for the one day they'll go to the Olympics and be chosen for the team. Yeah, that sort of thing. So, but yeah, it's one of those. It's one of those. Not like you're not going to be seeing those Simone Biles up in this piece. Like, what? Yo, because at first I was like, oh my gosh, is it for the Olympics? Like, the Olympics is happening? Like, what? I would actually be excited, but nah, be. It's
much like see, that's what you do. You roll up to, like, the Olympics things, like, oh, you need a pass scanner. It's like, oh, excuse me, I have a press badge. Thank you. it has, like, a Dragon Zord on it.
Exactly.
No. You will not meet Gabby Douglas. It will not happen.
Can you imagine? Like, you try to roll up there, right? And you got a press badge. You got a Pink Ranger on that. Like, yep. And what? Yeah, I'm pressed. Why does it say? What is that? You know, that's how they spell, you know, the invitational meet. That's how they spell it. Like, this is how the kids get down right now.
Yeah, see, they're wearing spandex. Same thing. It counts.
It's all good in the hood. It's all good in the hood.
By the way, that reminds me. Outside of the first PMC, has Kelson been around?
No, I don't think so.
Bring him back. People like him. He's also in everything.
So if you've been on multiple seasons.
Yeah, Kelson's been on like 90 seasons. Bring him back.
Yo, man, I'm ready this year for like Victor and Monty to show up like unannounced.
Oh my god. Awesome. Yes.
I am so ready for those two. first ones I go up to. Maybe after Levi. I don't know. Levi's pretty great. Levi's hot.
Levi's pretty awesome. Okay. Anyway.
Okay, by the way, Saban, this is my plea. Victor and Monty, cast them for the next season. There's like 12 Rangers. They have spots. Give them. Give them spots.
Give them Rangers. Those two deserve better. All right.
Make them gold and silver. Make them gold and silver in your
Rangers. Attention. Let's go.
Yes. Do it now.
All right, moving right along.
Victor and Monty for life. Give them their own panel. Thanks, bye.
Yes.
But anywho, we're going to move it along. So there is a rant that you would like to...
You're really overselling it.
You said rant in our chat. I know, chat. But
well, there's so much to talk about, like, because they did announce new Legacy toys. Okay. So there is that, first of all.
Do it.
There's, you know, another giant helmet. Nobody cares. Whatever.
Oh, which one?
What
is it green?
Is it green? Yeah, there's green. There's green.
I think it's white.
Is it green? Yeah. Well, because I'm not going to buy any of them. I'm not going to buy the red one. I'm not going to buy the movie one. I'm not going to buy that one. So I really, really don't care. But the thing that we saw recently was that they are going to re-release the auto flippy head... What automorphin, is that what they call them?
Yeah.
Automorphin figures from MMPR, but so far it's just red, green, and pink because of course it is. Because they always go red, green, and then either pink or white because that's what sells.
Racist. Sorry.
I was going to say, sorry, Billy and minorities.
Minorities and Billy.
Because you have other white guy. Yeah. Like, not Six Ranger or Red Ranger, so you have other white guy and the minorities.
Yep. You have glasses, so you're a nerd. Nobody wants you. Aw. Yep.
You date fish, minority.
Right. So they're releasing those, and what my initial reaction was the same initial reaction I was seeing online, because I was looking at, like, the Ranger board and then Facebook pages for different sites that tend to report news. And it seems that fans are not really thrilled with the idea of re-releasing the Automorphers, mostly because they look like the same figures in the same packages, and they're charging $20.
Nope.
$20?
$20! The same price as the new Legacy figure line.
That looks even way better, even though, like, some of the paint's off or whatever, but it still looks way better. Why would you charge $20 for the same toy that was back in the 90s?
And I get it, because, you know, oil prices have increased. Toys do cost more now than they did. Like, the same figure I bought back in the day for $3 now costs, like, $8 or $9.
Yes, $8 or $9. Right. $20.
So that figure, you know, for inflation, those cost a few more, would probably be, like, 12 to 15 tops.
But not $20.
$20. And then the other problem is that fans don't like the idea of you're giving us half the Rangers. Basically saying, you buy these, or we're not releasing the rest of them. Kind of right. Like how they decided to release those individual, like, Legacy Morphers to get more money out of people, and they released a red, blue, and pink, and guess what? They didn't release anymore.
Right.
So the people that actually bought those, not me, got screwed. And, like, those Morphers, by the way, you can find right now at Barnes & Noble for a lot of percentage off. That's the thing I want to tell people right now. By the way, this is this little advertisement. Barnes & Noble, massive red little dot sticker sale. And they have all of that Legacy stuff. Like, if you don't have Saba or Dragon Dagger or Ninja Megazord.
Or any some
of that
coins.
Stuff, yes, coins. Any of that stuff. You go there and you're going to get them for like 50, 75% off. Like, it's crazy. So
why are you telling the people all the secrets?
Go to your local Barnes & Noble. Don't go to Lisa's. Go to your local one. See, for me, I have, like, four Barnes & Noble within, like, spitting distance, so it's not a big deal.
But still.
So if you guys don't have it, though, I'm just saying, you know, you might want to go check it out. But overall, this kind of leads me to my whole point about the Legacy line. And I feel like they're getting to a point where they have to really be strict with their pricing, because it seems like almost every single Legacy item that has come out has been overpriced and eventually dropped, and then like I said, how we didn't get the rest of the morphers, all that sort of stuff. They're so focused on friggin' MMPR. They're just driving into that well so much, and they don't realize that it is getting emptier and emptier.
Right.
And that is why people aren't buying this sort of stuff. And on top of that, like, Bandai of Japan is stepping up their game, and they know that we import from them, that the hardcore fans will import from them, so that if they release these amazing items, that we will buy from them and not from Bandai of America. Like, they're releasing these, they're slightly smaller scale, I believe, but these awesome, like, redos of all of the Megazords from MMPR. Yeah. And they are selling out like crazy because they have this insane detail and everybody is jumping to import them. On the flip side, Bandai of America decided to start releasing individual Zords. Again, the problem is, if you look at the press photos of them, which typically speaking are better looking than the actual product, they are missing a lot of paint applications. Like, they do not look great at all. Like, they look better, obviously, than the regular ones, but they don't look, like, highly defined, like, worth the idea of an individual release. Now, they've only shown pictures so far for the T-Rex and the Sabertooth Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, neither one of them blew me away in the slightest. And you remember, like, last year at PMC, like, we saw, like, the Japanese ones, like, in the glass case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, and they were insane. Like, it was insane, the detail, like, how much it moved, how, like, it could, in tank mode, like, it had all these extra little details. Like, they had, like, little individual features for each mecha. Like, yeah, it's expensive, but it blew you away. And, like, it's kind of the same point I've made before when I was talking about, the Legacy line of figures, is that they're charging $20 for them, comparatively speaking to the figure arts from Japan, which are about twice the price, but they're definitely more than twice the, like, amazing posability. They have, like, extra hands, extra weapons, extra everything. There's just so much detail to them that people are willing to spend that extra money. You look at the Legacy line, and all they do is friggin' add some Build-A-Mecha piece, or now that they've re-released the regular Rangers because of that whole belt miscolor fiasco, mm-hmm. they gave them the regular weapons, but the weapons don't even combine. Like it's just, and the re-releases are like that shiny translucent plastic, which still, like, unless you're looking for a metallic armor line of figures, like,
said no one ever.
Right. So I guess my whole thing is that, like, I understand that they want to step up their game for detail for the fans, and that necessitates the higher price. But they're at this weird sort of limbo where their figures are more detailed than a basic figure by far, but they're also not nearly as detailed as the stuff Japan puts out by far. So you've got this weird, like, middle of the road thing with a middle of the road price to go with it. But, like, it's like there's not a strong audience for that, I feel like. And then on top of that, I always consider the fact that Legacy items were initially, like, it was always Toys R Us exclusive, Toys R Us exclusive. Mm-hmm. They always put the big sticker on it. That was just the most amazing thing in the world. And then I saw, and I don't see them there anymore, but for a while there, the figures that were in, like, the old school triangle boxes, they were at Walmart. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Why does Walmart have all of these? Like, and then I figured out that, like, the only ones they had at Walmart tended to be, like, the black, blue, yellow ones, where, like, the second release, where they, it's like, it kind of got obvious, like, they have a lot of extra stock, and that's why they must have cut some sort of deal with Walmart. Again, this is the point where this is all speculation on my part, but I do feel like it holds some sort of merit. And then we started seeing the Legacy stuff pop up at Barnes & Noble. And then we had the whole thing where we were able to order the Legacy Red Ranger sword at Target.
Right.
So it looks it looks like outside of, like, the massive items like Titanus, Thunder Megazord, outside of those two things, which take up a ridiculous amount of space, that's obviously going to be a Toys R Us exclusive, just like how the giant version of the movie Megazord you can only buy there too, and, like, the helmets. Mm-hmm. Are mostly a thing there too, but I think I've seen those other places too. But, like, outside of those massive items, like, all of the Legacy stuff is not exclusive anymore, not in the slightest. And part of that probably has to do with the fact that Toys R Us filed for bankruptcy. But this happened like at least started happening like at least more than a year ago, well before bankruptcy was a thing.
Maybe it's just that we didn't know about it.
Right. Maybe it was a long way off and they knew it was coming and so they tried to get ahead of it. But either way, I'm really getting this feeling that like the legacy line is not necessarily delivering what they want, and that's kind of why they are resorting to gimmicky stuff like the black and gold, where I kind of feel like they're scared to even get out of MMPR because it's not like this gangbusters thing that they expected it to be. And that's why they're so desperately clutching on to it. And it also makes me think about the fact that like with the legacy figures that they give us is that they were so intent to make sure that the figures that they released in that line were of the seasons that are genuinely like the most. Like they really made sure that they stuck to MMPR, stuck to In Space, going to Dino Thunder and Zeo, like the ones that are like the most universally loved, where like I just don't feel like this line is going to continue to all of these other seasons. Like they're not selling the way they're supposed to. And
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say the other thing is and we talked about this a little bit before in a past podcast, but like it is really getting concerned with how much the shelves are clogged with the female figures. Like legit, every time I walk into a Walmart or a Target or whatever and I go look at the area where those legacy figures are, the shelf is completely stocked and it is entirely Kimberly, Ashley, and yes, Dustin, because people see yellow and they assume female and don't just bypass it and don't buy that figure. Poor Dustin. But like it is so jam-packed with those specific figures. Like they released like the next wave, which was the rest of the In Space figures. I've never seen them in my area at all. Like I have not seen them because the shelves have been that full. So I've never gotten my Carlos or my TJ or my Cassie.
For me, and I, you know, this is just a personal thing because, you know, I'm not saying that this is typical or anything, but I'm tired of buying MMPR. I am tired. Okay. I wasn't a big fan of In Space like that, so I'm not really going out and buying those, and those just happen to be the next wave. I wasn't a big fan of Ninja Storm. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go out and buy those either. You know, I'm waiting for my Dino Thunder and I'm waiting for my Zeo. Like that's what I'm waiting for. And it's taken up until this year and until they actually come out. So, right? This year, right?
Supposedly the end of this year, like the first wave of them. That's like a mix of Dino Thunder and Zeo will come out.
Right. So that's what I'm waiting for. Like, that's what, I mean, like, I'm not finna buy no $20, because each of them there's $20, you know, like, you know, for another, like, Mighty Morphin. I'm not doing it. Not right now. Anybody got, and then y'all messed up the belts also. I was so mad.
They messed up the belts. Remember how I told you how they messed up Dustin and Shane's morphers?
Oh, yes, yes,
they got them backwards?
You know, so like, I'm just mad. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, I have so many Mighty Morphin and everything up in here. Like, I'm good. Y'all have my money like 5 billion times over. You know what I mean? So I'm good. For me, that's what I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the seasons that I want to see. But then it's the Catch-22. Like, well, if you don't buy these, well, you know what? Maybe because you went to the well too much for Mighty Morphin. How about that? Like, you really did. Like, y'all really like. It's a little too much. Like, I'm not saying that like, we're never ever going to see MMPR stuff ever again, or we shouldn't, because, you know, there's always going to be a little something, but, like, there's a lot of something.
Well, and I think the thing with that, too, is that, like, people have to realize is that, like, yes, there's always going to be MMPR, but that's fine. Do that for, you know, pop figures or things that genuinely appeal to the masses of nostalgia that are going to want the MMPR stuff. The whole point of that line is that it's supposed to be for the more hardcore fans.
Yeah.
And the more hardcore fans don't need more MMPR, or at least they don't need it first. Like they want some other stuff. They want some seasons that the only figure they have is some figure that they got 15 years ago that doesn't even bend.
Right. Yeah. 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 Like, I yes, does it make sense when the line first came out? And of course, you're going to come up with MMPR because, you know, nostalgia and everything, you know, get us hype, hype, hype. Fine. But then move on. Like, you can move on, then come back to it, make us miss it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're not missing it right now. Like, we know, like, it's everywhere. Like, we good. Like, we straight. Like,
Well, so. And it's kind of what I said earlier, too, is the fact that, like, the way they released the figure where it has just a build a Megazord piece and then like the side arm, it feels like they can't make a choice of who they're catering to, because on some levels they're catering to the casual fans and on some levels they're catering to the hardcore fans, but they're not strictly sticking to one or the other. Like, if you're going to cater to the casual fans, then like, fine, stick to MMPR, make it super accurate, like give them the build a piece, give them the regular weapon, give them some extra cool stuff, like a little diorama to build or something that these kids like. Or if you're going to stick to the hardcore fans, like, make sure you give them all of their weapons. Like, and you don't have to worry about stupid Build-A-Zords. Like, people, yeah. Like, hardcore fans do not care about the big Build-A-Zords. They care about an incredibly screen-accurate figure, and that includes all of their weapons. Like, it doesn't include, like, freaking silver belts and missing morphers, like, getting them wrong, like... And they want more posability. Like, that's what the hardcore fans care about. And if you can't decide, if you're looking for somewhere in the middle, then guess what? You're not going to please either side, and you're not going to sell them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, like, you know, the quote-unquote casuals, they have been had toys come out for them for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Been, you know? The little 5-inch craps and the whatever, like they've been had. So, like, yo, give something that's just for us for, like, once, okay? You know, like, we bought up all the morphers in them, but then y'all want to come up with dumb morphers, and so we're like, we're done. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not, like, you gotta move on.
The movie morphers were too far.
I was gonna say,
I
think the morphers are, like, the perfect example of, like, trying to bleed fans dry. Like, releasing a Tommy-only morpher with his 2 coins, a regular morpher with the other 5 coins, then a movie morpher, which isn't really that different, and it didn't come with the coins people wanted, and then trying to release 3 individually colored morphers when they're all essentially the exact same toy? Like, I'm sorry, but
I understood the Tommy morpher because his is gold.
Right.
I understand, because that's different. Fine. But, bro, like, when the movie morph, I was like, you know what? F y'all.
Well, and if you're releasing a movie morpher, you put in 6 movie coins.
Yeah, don't be cheap like that.
And the Tommy morpher should have been a little cheaper because it only had 2 coins. Like, be real, you know, like, come on. Like, you can't, and then, especially when they hit the three colored ones, like, who's buying those?
Who was just jonesing for, like, that Pink Ranger color? It's, like, it's the same morpher.
Well, no, you know why it's good? Because then you get the discounted version for the cosplayers, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't have to buy, like, a $100 one. They could just buy a $25 one and call it a day. And then you can like, I mean, it's all the same morph anyway. So then you could just take off the stickers and blah, 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 and then, you know, do what you want.
Who is ever going to market their toy and stock their success on it with all the cosplayers will buy it? who banks on that?
It makes me wonder.
That's
how
why they're called role play items, okay?
Uh-huh.
Makes me wonder how well the Xeonizer will sell.
Oh, let me shut your face right now, okay?
I know. It's
face right
now. Because you're going to buy 20?
I'm going to buy 50 of them.
I can't wait until they release the special Tommy edition Xeonizer.
Oh my god, don't even joke about
that. No, there is the Jason version.
It's SDCC.
Well, yeah,
there's the Jason version.
Yeah, they'll release the regular version, then they'll release the Jason version, then they'll say, here's the Celebrate Tommy edition that comes with white and green Zeo crystals.
You're an idiot.
I really hope when you click the morpher together, not only does it do like the sound from the show, but then if you hold it, it goes Zeo!
Zeo!
Oh, boy. So, yeah. Anyway. I'm gonna buy 50 of them. Okay? Alright? I'm gonna support. Because, like, Zeo needs some love. And just like when the Zeo figures come out, I'm gonna buy like 50 of them because again, they need love.
How many?
In fact, I'm gonna
buy
all the women. The women.
How many golden power staffs are you going to buy? Three.
50 of them.
Three, so you can.
Well, Target needs to sell them for $25, and
I figured you were going to buy three, so you could pretend your tray. And that would be great. Stupid.
There was only one staff, okay? There was not three staves.
Oh, boy.
I'm mad I know that.
It's horrible.
Oh,
horrible. But yeah, no, I get it. Toy fatigue, I get it.
Black
get
and
it.
Gold Titanus. Why is that a thing that exists?
All right, so let's move right along, because we've got a lot of show. All right? Hyperforce.
Hey, go.
So, not too long ago, the Hyper RPG Twitch channel teamed up with the Power Rangers, and then they created a totally new RPG game type of thing called Power Rangers Hyperforce. And the cast of the Hyperforce, I want to make sure I get these names right, because there's some names I don't know. So you have the Red Ranger. You have what's his name? What's his real name?
Preston.
Sidarso.
Peter. Yes.
I was definitely about to say Adrian. I don't know why.
Yes.
Wow.
Peter Sidarso. He is playing Marv, the Red Ranger. You have Christina V.
You know he picked that name because he likes Gokaiger.
Yeah. So Christina V, she's playing Vespa? The Black Ranger.
She's a bike?
I guess so. And then we have, Paul Schreier. Our dude, Paul Schreier. He's playing Jack, the Yellow Ranger. We'll get back to that name in a second. Then
another Jack.
We have Andre Black.
All right,
yay, Andre.
Playing Eddie, the Blue Ranger.
Nice.
And I don't know this girl's name. What is her name?
Megan
Strawberry 567. What is her name?
Her real name is Megan.
Oh, her real name is
Camarina.
Okay, got you. And she's playing the.
There's Megan.
She's playing Chloe. So yes.
I don't know many YouTubers, so.
Yeah, and then you have your game master, and then for the first episode they had a special guest. They had Aaron Cahill, and you're really like, why you have Aaron Cahill up in that piece being a special guest for the first episode? Because this RPG is taking place in the realm of Time Force, right? It's in that genre of season, and it is taking place, I guess, 3016, mm-hmm. where a bunch of cadets are in the Time Force Academy, and they're trying to do their learning, from their teacher, Jen Scatz, right? And then you have Paul Schreier, Jack, that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Who's like a beat cop or somebody or whatever. So, you know, he's milling about because, you know, he the older dude, you know, he don't need no cadet school. He know the thing. He know the drill. And then that's the kind of universe that they're in, right? It's all about Time Force and that sort of thing. And the whole story kind of ensues where there's an attack on the Time Force Academy and they have to figure out what's going on. And they have to, because at this point, none of them have powers. None of them are, you know, just regular old folk, right? Except for our girl Jen, you know? So she's the one that she's morphing. She's doing her thing. She's trying to be like the leader of this ragtag team that we've got over here. And they're going through different missions, really. But they're going through different things that they have to do throughout the game in order to lead them to finally kind of get their powers at the end of this first episode, right? That's the gist. There's a villain. There's some other plot points that they sort of kind of explain, but not really. But at the end, they are supposed to get these powers, or at least know that they're supposed to be Power Rangers. Okay? A new team of Power Rangers. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the gist, right? Without, like, giving away everything. I never watched live. I never did. Because, you know, I gotta be honest, I already have my Tuesday programming already, like, mm-hmm. set. So that doesn't change. But I thought it'd be interesting to check out what this thing is, because I vaguely heard about Hyper RPG, and I'm sort of new to Twitch TV, and, you know, because, like, at first it was just gaming. Well, here's the history, really. Way back in the day, you had Justin.tv, and a bunch of people would stream whatever they felt like, whenever they felt like. But then Twitch bought Justin, and then and Twitch was just all gaming. And then so all that, like, streaming for people who just want to stream their lives and stream, they were like, nah, son, y'all gotta peace out. If you either game or you out, right? So all that went away. Now Twitch.tv is slowly coming back to, like, oh, let's stream more than just gaming. And so that's why a lot of podcasts and a lot of things are coming back or whatever. But one of the, I guess, premier channels, or I don't know, is this Hyper RPG channel. But I had never personally had gone to Twitch.tv and be like, I'm going to watch these things. You know, I'm kind of old. So I was like,
and even I've watched Twitch before.
You know, I've watched Twitch for other things, but not like, I mean, the last time I watched Twitch was for like Hearthstone.
Yeah, gaming. I watched it for some charity streams for the Grumpy Grumps.
Oh, the Grumpy Grumps. The Grumpy Grumps. The Game Grumps, as yes. for people who, but I call them Grumpy Grumps because, like,
the
I
sweet
never...
people out there who are cool Game Grumps fans, shout it out.
Yeah, but I mean, I, you know, I don't know. I never remembered their names, so I just called them Grumpy Grumps.
One of them sang a Power Rangers theme song.
You know, you keep saying this, and it's kind of not really.
Hey, they were better demos than the actual RPM theme.
You know what? Anywho, so...
You can't even lie. You know that's true.
So, anyway. So, let's leave RPM alone, because RPM's a joint. Don't need
Except
to play.
Except for the theme.
And you need to shut your face. So, yes. So, I thought, like, let me check it out and see what's up. Because there was a lot of hype before mm-hmm. the Hyperforce was coming out. I'm just like, oh, am I, like, missing, like, this wave or something? Like, what's happening? And, yeah, okay. So, I checked it out. And at first, I wasn't going to check out everything. But I said, I'm going to watch the full first episode.
After I warned you.
So, Jeremiah, you were one of the first to watch the episode. Just general thoughts.
Yeah, I watched it because you told me that with Amazon Prime you get a free subscription to something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was like, oh, I never use this, so I will subscribe to this thing. And then they actually put it out on YouTube like a week later. So mm-hmm. even if you don't want to watch live and if you don't want to pay for it, if you wait a week, they will put the episode on their YouTube channel, their Hyper RPG thing, so you can check it out if you're willing to wait. So it's weird for me because, like, the whole idea of, like, RPG stuff like that has never really been my thing. Mm-hmm. But in the last year, I actually got together with some old friends from high school and we started doing some D&D. So I'm kind of getting my toe in the water, kind of starting to enjoy it a little bit.
See.
Yeah, it's still not necessarily my thing. You know, it's a little out of my comfort zone, but I'm starting to, you know, dig it a little bit. And for me watching this, maybe it's because I'm not a hardcore fan of it or whatever, but it really struggled to hold my attention a lot of the time. Asking somebody to sit there for 3 hours, even if it's once a week, to watch somebody else RPG is like, it's a really tall task. Like, you have
especially
to,
like, during the middle of the week too.
Yeah, like a Tuesday evening. Like, And it's interesting because I at least was slightly interested in it because I like the idea of like the different symbols for the helmets. Like I thought they looked okay. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was Andre and Paul, like those, that's a winner right there to have both of them. But a lot of the personalities didn't really show. I think that was the biggest thing for me, is that like the two girls were very interchangeable to me. Like I didn't feel, yeah, like I didn't get a much from either one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really odd. I totally disagree.
Real interesting. Okay. Let's see what else. Andre didn't have as much to offer as I kind of hoped. I think when he interjected, he was good, mm-hmm. but I also don't feel like I don't necessarily feel like it was his element or it's going to take him some time to really get into it. Pauly was kind of the same way in the sense that when he spoke, he had some good lines, he had some funny stuff to say, but like especially like the first hour of it, I don't feel like anybody was very comfortable at all in what they were doing. The chick who was hosting it, who plays, you know, the villain, all that sort of stuff, gets it going. Like, I wonder what her actual Power Rangers knowledge is, because I feel like she has a passing knowledge, but also it feels like it's the type of thing where, like, she only studied up on it because this was going to be her job. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that, like, for hardcore RPGers, I don't necessarily know if this is the thing for them, because the way it works is like she's trying really hard to make them win, and the thing is with normal RPGs is the game master, whatever, is willing to put any obstacle in front of them and they make it stuff that they can overcome, but they also have no problem with killing a character off if they need to, and that's obviously not the case here. They're not going to kill any of these characters off and make them make a new one. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that ever happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's always like finding ways to like, oh, you smiled correctly today. Here's 5 energy. Like,
you're stupid.
Like, what? And then it always says on the side, like, tweet whatever, whatever, to give them 900 bonus points or whatever. Like, it's like they're taking so much effort to give them free stuff that it feels like they're going to make the game really easy for them. So I don't know why that would draw in, like, a hardcore fan of gaming in general. Because it doesn't seem like they're going to overcome a lot of, like, big obstacles or have any real threats for them. And then for fans of Power Rangers, like, I don't know how Power Rangy it is for fans to really get super involved in it. And then, like, at times it was like they were really just throwing references at you. So, I don't know. I really enjoyed Erin, because I think she really tried to get into it. I don't think it's her realm, but I think she tried her best to really.
Oh, she was acting. In.
Yeah, yeah, she was acting.
She was busting out. Jen. Okay. Yeah,
she's like, she loves Jen like so much, and she's like, I'm gonna be Jen, and so she gave it as much as she possibly could for her episode. So I don't know what it's gonna be like for the second episode when there is no guest. If it's going to be, you know, if it's going to drop in quality or if it's going to get better because they're all just getting more comfortable with their personalities.
Right.
But like overall, I don't know. It was just very middle of the road for me. It didn't necessarily hold my attention. It was the type of thing I had on in the background while I was doing work.
Got you.
Yeah.
So for me, right, I had no hopes for this. Like I walked out, like there was none. I had zero. I'm just like, all right. It's gonna be 2.5 hours. Okay, not gonna watch all of it. And I ended up watching all of it. Because, you know, I'm just like, I like to stick things through, even though. But I ended up enjoying it more than I thought I would have. Partially because of how awkward it was, and partially because, like, there were some moments that actually made me funny, like, made me laugh. You know, like, with the two girls, I think that, I don't know the actual character's name, but Christina V, that's the actress name, Vesper. Right? Yeah. So she, I didn't think she knew what her character was at first. Like, she didn't really, it was kind of nondescript, but as we got into, like, the third hour, you know, it's just like, mm-hmm. Okay, like, I'm seeing that she is kind of developing it, and okay, I can see this thing. clearly the pink girl likes to steal stuff. You know, she a klepto. Like, clearly. Okay? She likes to steal stuff. She likes to be the cutesy, steal the little thief. You know? So, like, the girls I had no problem with. It was fine. Andre and Paul. Please. And Peter, I think that, I mean, because he's, I mean, out of everybody, he's, like, the most into, you know, like, he's the one that, like, actually plays, like, RPGs and all those other things, like, he, like, actually does this stuff. So he was the most excitable, I noticed, that he was very, very eager and very, you know, to the point where I wonder how it would have been if he was the game master and then the girl who was the game master was like part of the team. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder how that would have been, because
that would be a 3-to-2 female ratio. That never happened.
That's crazy talk.
That's crazy. What?
Impossible.
You know, wait, a female Red Ranger?
No.
This gave us a female Black, right? That's cool.
That is cool. You know, so those are the things I've noticed. And of course, yes, like the first half of the show is just like people are trying to get their bearings, and you know, this is the first show and everything, and you know, even with the game master, you know, she was, you know, like there was a lot of forgiveness that I gave these people, because it's not easy to do a live show that you rehearsed maybe once or twice and you're trying to get all the kinks out and everything. So that's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so totally. But what I did notice was that it just took the game master a lot, because I watched the first episode and I watched the beginning of the second, because I wanted to see how it was without a guest, you know, like a star, you know? And with both that I noticed, that it took the game master a while to describe the things that are going on. And God bless her. She is doing a lot. She is doing a lot of heavy lifting, and it is not easy to be a game master. However, it's, you know, for her to describe things, it's just like, you know, it takes so long to describe it that you're just like, okay, wait, where am I again? Wait, what's over here? Wait, what's over? It kind of getting your bearings of like, what are you looking ahead of you is kind of, you know, sometimes you have to like, okay, wait, where are we again?
That reminds me of the first episode when she's like, so you're walking down and you're walking down the first hallway and there's nothing. And then you're walking down the second hallway and then there's nothing. And then you're walking down the third hallway and there's, I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, the fifth hallway, there's something. Okay, good. Great. Fantastic. Why do we have to go through four hallways?
I watched like 40 minutes of the first episode, and like I was trying to like have it on in front of me, but then after the first 20, I'm like, I'll put it on in the background. And I think the thing that it's, you know, again, it's a first episode, I totally understand, but man, a 3-hour commitment to like get through the growing pains is tough. But I will say something nice is that I was kind of into the start of when they actually got into the story. I'm like, oh, this seems like these could be fun characters in an actual show, right? I mean, then after a while, it sort of became repetitious, and it was like, we got to do this. And I understand it's part of the game, which is where it comes into the I don't want to watch other people play the game. I want to play the game myself. But it made me think was, man, these characters that they have seemed to have created seem fun, interesting, and different. Where's that in the actual show?
You're stupid.
Like straight no, like that is a problem, because it's like, okay, so this gets made, and like whatever, like it's this show, this style of show is not for me, and I'm totally aware of that. So I'm not going to talk too much about the actual content, because clearly it's not for me. So I'm not going to get all up on it. But I just see that and I'm like, yo, like whoever wrote this, whoever wrote this game or wrote these characters for them, or maybe the people in it came up with them, I don't know. They're doing a better job than the people who are writing the show right now. Sorry.
Was it Higgins? Was it you?
And also, there is a problem that you alluded to earlier, Lisa. You're really going to call a character Jack? Really?
Yeah.
You guys don't have like a glossary of used names, especially a Red Ranger too, right? A Red Ranger name.
No, that Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Jack.
And then they're like, oh, wow. They're probably like, man, we already have a Jack. Let's change a letter. All right, let's change it from J to M. Mac! We can call him Mac! Yeah, that's a... And then you're like, oh, wait. Oh, no. And you walked into another one. No, yeah, no. Especially when the... When we hadn't had a black Red Ranger in a very long time. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And so when we finally got one again, you know, like, his name is Jack. I'm like, all right, you know, that's our dude right there. You know what I mean? Dreadlocks. Yeah, that's our dude right there. You know what I'm saying? And then you go, and I love Paul, but you know, you have to give the white dude named Jack. I'm like, come on, bruh. You could have named him anything. You could have named him Bob. You can name him Bo. You can name him. You can name him anything.
You literally could have named him Paulie.
You literally could have named him Paulie.
And he's the only one that could have gotten away with that too.
Right? Because see, I wish that they had filmed them. Like, if they did come up with the characters, come up with it, and you just like put the camera on him. It's like, what's your character's name? Paulie. And you know what? You would accept it and you would believe it.
Exactly. Exactly. And but like, you know, but after a while you just like, you just throw up your hands and you're like, you know what, man, it's fine, whatever, just whatever.
His name is Jack,
just whatever. The other thing I wanted to say was that this is a game where I necessarily don't need to play it, but I want to know the story. You know, and so
I would buy the book, like the game manual book that tells the story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
I see. I don't know if I buy that, but I would. I would definitely want to know the story. I would want an audiobook. I would want that. I definitely wanted to know the story because, like, you know, you actually by the end of the first episode, like, there were some things that were actually happening, and you're like, oh snap, we might actually find out who this leader is, who's the, you know, because part of the story is that that the Time Force Academy at the Academy has been infiltrated by members of this alliance, and what's going on with this alliance, and so that's what they're trying to figure out for like 2 hours. And I'm like, okay, I know this is like, you know, the growing pains of an RPG that nobody's ever played before, I get it, but I'm like, okay guys, I just want to know who this person is. Yeah, I just want to know.
Like, this would have been a perfectly fine half hour premiere of a show. It does not need to be 3 hours. And I understand it's a game, so I get it.
You know what? I would say it would have been a good hour and a half because you gotta, you know, get it kinked out. People gotta know how to, you know, play certain things or whatever, that sort of thing. And you got a new guest and everything. Yeah. 3 hours!
Well, honestly, what they probably should have done is had them do, like, a little test thing beforehand. So, like, they get all their kinks out and, like, they already know each other and they got a groove. And then they do the one that actually gets aired. It's just an idea.
No, but they did rehearse it.
Oh, did they?
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
by the way, I know people give it crap, but I actually kind of like the suits. Kind of do. I know they're simplistic, but I kind of like them.
Well, see, I don't really care about them because, look, I'm going to sound like an old man here. You are never going to convince me that's an official Ranger. You stop that. Stop acting like they're an actual thing. Whatever. Yeah.
My only thing is that design-wise and with your theme-wise, why is that Time Force? Why is that Time Force at all?
Yeah, it's more nothing... SPD-ish. It's definitely more SPD-ish.
Also, if your costume has so many black highlights, you have a Green Ranger, not a Black Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Also, like that theme, can we do the... No. Stop. Good Lord.
Change, I gotta sing really hard and like I'm a rock god, cause I'm really gonna blow up my voice.
Hyperforce.
So, yeah. You know, it's all the same stuff.
You will insert word here.
You know, it's all good. It's what else. It's what else.
Something strong Rangers.
So, like, I will read, like, a summary, like a three-paragraph summary of what happens each week, and that is just fine for me.
That's fair.
You know what? I have to say, and you know, part of the second episode that you guys haven't seen, the thing with Andre, he actually is more involved with, like, you know, there's more involvement with his character explaining things and inserting jokes in here and there, whatever. So, like, you know, there is more stuff that does, well, I mean, I don't know if more stuff that happens, but more stuff that he says. But I don't know, like, I really was going into it not expecting much at all, not really expecting to be into it. But I was generally surprised that I didn't mind. Like, it's a thing where, you know, if I'm eating something, you know, I'm eating some lunch or some dinner and I got it in the background or whatever and I'm paying attention, but, you know, I've got to eat my food and everything. You know, like, that's, I would actually put it on and I wouldn't mind. So,
I need a really dedicated fan out there to take each week's episode and edit it into a 15-minute package.
Oh, yeah. I need the previously on Hyperforce.
Yeah, wrong, bro.
Previously on Hyperforce, this week on Hyperforce.
Yes. Next time on Hyperforce.
Next time on Hyperforce.
That's all you need. Just three little clips. I'm good.
Yeah, wrong, bro.
Hyperforce abridged. Like, actually abridged. Like, they really just cut out all the crap to get the actual story.
4-star, edit this.
Oh, Lord. Anywho.
Again, just not for me. Not for me. Not my kind of thing. It's cool that I will give Saban this. I am glad that they're partnering with somebody and doing something kind of different and close to cutting edge. Probably the closest thing to cutting edge they've done in a very long time.
It is, yeah. Twitch is becoming a much bigger thing right now. It's the time to strike.
So props to them.
And it's been on the front page for, like, a few weeks now. I mean, like, I think the first couple of episodes, they were, like, the featured video that you immediately went onto the front page and they were on. And then last week, you had to click maybe a couple of thumbnails over. But they were still on the front page, but, like, you had to click on the thumbnails. And they were still, like, you know, they still had their thousands. You know, they were, like, at the time when I saw it, it was, like, a couple thousand people viewing at the same time. So, you know, that's more than Ninja Steel. So, that's good.
I still put it in the same category as what I was talking about with the Legacy Toys, though, where I feel like it's riding that middle ground, where it's not catering to casual fans and it's not catering to hardcore fans. It's somewhere in the middle, which...
No, it's catering to hardcore fans, just not us. Like, well, it's catering to, like, hardcore, like, you know, people who are into, like...
Not really, because of the fact that they give them so much stuff. Like, they're playing on easy mode. I see what you're saying. Yeah, they're playing on super easy mode, so.
Now, if they were to release, like, an actual Power Rangers RPG, like, source book, where it was like, oh, like, here's all the things you would need to play a game, and, like, here's all this backstory, and, like, here's an encyclopedia of alien races and Power Rangers, like, yo, I would be so into that, oh, like, 100%.
I would tell my friends from high school, I'm like, we're putting the D&D game on hiatus. We're playing Hyperforce.
That's the thing where I am someone who will buy RPG books and I may never even play the game. I just like reading through the books because they're often, like, filled with a lot of cool information.
And lore and all this other stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I would play them if I had people to play them with. Sure, of course. But, nah, Hyperforce. Like, oh, well, yeah. You know, cool for people who like it. Cool people who like it.
Yeah, Kieran is ripe for an RPG. For three to five players, yeah.
So yeah, Seamus, do you do the D&D?
I've done a little bit. I've played a couple games in my life. It's always one of those things where, like, people want to start it, and then, like, maybe one game happens, and then people get busy.
Gotcha. Because a friend of mine, an IRL friend of mine, started. She would participate, and then she recently started being a game master for D&D. And so then she wanted, and then there was a bunch of newbies, like, in our, like, because, like, we went to college together. And so, like, you know, out of our circle, you know, like, I mean, you had a couple of newbies and a couple of people who played a couple of times, you know, so we were all kind of newbies, right? So she was a newbie as a GM, and we were newbies as, like, people who are playing D&D. So, like, we're all going to go and be newbies together. And we would... And the reason why she suggested it is because we used to all gather and like read fiction, you know, like that we would write and stuff like that. So we were like, oh, well, this is great. This is like, you know, fiction, but then with the characters and the things and the bub and the what and the how house. I'm like, okay, let's try it. And again, I was just like, I didn't have high hopes, you know, as usual. I'm just like, I don't know. But I actually had fun because of the friends I was with. And, you know, like we were making up stuff. And as I'm going along, I'm just like, look, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do this thing and blah, blah, and what. So it was fun. So yes, if there were a D&D version of this game, like, but maybe not Time Force, because I'm not really like, man, Time Force.
Like, it would need to be that you could build your own team. Like, they could have like a set team in there that you could play, but they would also give you the ability to create your own theme. Yeah,
it would have to be like the universe that is of Power Rangers. Like, it has to be like in that universe, and then you're able to create. Like, you know how like the D&D folks, like, you know, like the them GMs, they have to be creating crap and things and missions. And there could.
You have your main player book, and then you would have like the offshoot like guide would be like, oh, this is the Hyperforce guide, where if you want to play Hyperforce story, you use this book.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have different books based on different seasons or whatever else, you know, that kind of thing.
You could do that. That's the thing. So yeah, no, but I'm totally down for, you know, a test run of this and see how it goes and everything, you know. But you know, Jason Bischoff, you know, will be. He's been doing some unofficial fan polls. Girl. You know he loves them polls, y'all. Not those polls, okay? Just keep the mind out of the gutter. So he has an unofficial unofficial fan poll follow-up regarding a Hyperforce Home Edition game. If these were the options, which would you buy? Assume each like assess level is more money. Spread the word. So metal dice only, a super deck including rules, mega, that'd be dice and deck, or ultra, dice, deck, and morpher.
That's not what people want if they're playing an RPG game. They don't want your stupid little tchotchkes. They want the actual book.
Yeah, the real book.
Yeah.
Give me the book.
I can get dice anywhere. Morphers are whatever. It's probably would be cheaply made. Like, the cards are just... The cards were just friggin' Time Force weapons.
So here's the thing, right? The dice that they have in the little promo... I mean, the intro are kind of dope. Because, like, you know, the little lightning bolt and the thing and whatever, it's kind of dope. So, for me, I would want the dice. I don't want the morpher. Get out of here. F out of here.
Why would I want a morpher from a... No.
F out of here. Alright? You would want, like, a nice, like, printed deck. Not, like, some rando, like, you know, piece of paper. But then you want the book. You want the book. Give me the book. The book.
Well, but, I would play an actual system where you don't need cards in the first place.
Exactly.
So that's not like a token necessary part of an RPG. That's just their silly little system so they can have the fans give them power-ups all the time. It's not how you would normally play.
Well, here's the thing, and then it was another poll that he had, unofficial fan poll. Would you buy a home edition of Hyperforce as a deck/dice/RPG game? Spread the word.
No, I'd buy it as an RPG game. Straight up. With dice. I want the book, or book with dice if you like the dice. That's it. I don't need a morpher. I don't need dumb little cards. Because nobody's going to tweet me extra powers while I'm playing with my friends.
I'll tweet you extra power, Jer. Thanks. I'll do that for you. Get your hashtag here. Going.
I'll put my hands in my air and gather my power.
There you go.
One spear bomb.
I'll get all my Twitter followers. Be like, raise your hands up in the air for Jer. Give him your strength.
Thank you, Dama.
Stupid. They could be like a... Yeah, stupid. Anyway, no, but I don't know. I mean, I don't mind... I don't know, like.
Well, and the cards are specific. So if you don't want to play Time Force, I'm sorry, because they're all Time Force cards.
No, I'm well. Okay, listen. I don't know. I mean, is he talking about taking this exact game that we're seeing, and then being like, "Hey, you want to buy this game?"
Probably.
Or is it like, is it going to be? The generic name for the RPG game is Hyperforce, and it will, I mean, I, okay, I'm changing what I'm saying as I'm going along, so just bear with me. Okay, sure, first is Time Force, right? But then as you build and as you add new additions to the game, you're not just dealing with Time Force, you might deal with another, you know, season or whatever, that sort of thing.
Which I think is what they're doing in the show itself, so maybe.
Yeah, because so to just kind of wrap up this discussion here, they are, I think for the next episode, they are going to have special guest Karen Ashley up in this piece because in the game, they have to travel back to 1994 to Angel Grove to find like the head baddie, villain, whatever, of the Alliance and whatever, and find this dude and whatever. So they travel back in time to 94, and I'm gonna just guess that they're gonna run into the Aisha. So she's appearing on the next episode. And look, I mean, listen, I mean, if they can keep getting special guests and things to pull people in and watch the show, and then more power to them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, come on. Like, you know, we could have nothing. We could have, like...
Oh, no. We do have nothing. We're about to talk about it.
Yeah, like we've said, all of the good stuff is not the actual show. RPG is a fine idea. We got good comics. We had a good movie. But it's time for the bread and butter. It sucks.
All right, so Ninja Steel...
Compared to actual bread and butter is an insult to bread and butter.
Let me tell you something. I was not the biggest, you know, Hyperforce fan like on the planet. I would watch Hyperforce all day every day instead of these episodes, man.
Whew. I would watch 3 hours of Hyperforce over half an episode of Ninja Steel.
100%.
Yes.
Because there's actual substance there, you know? There's like an actual thing you can talk about. Because, oh boy... The worst of the bunch for me is the very first one, the Red Bot episode. Oh, dear God.
Okay. So we, in this episode, we'll be covering three episodes here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're actually getting to the end of the season. You know, we are getting in there. So we're covering the adventures of Robot. Jesus. Redbot. We are covering Abracadanger.
Whatever.
And Helping Hand.
By the way, did we talk about the crappy Halloween episode?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes, we did. Right.
Is that forgettable? Okay.
So we are only two episodes away from this season ending.
And Christmas.
No, that's one of the two.
Oh, that's including? Thank God. Oh, that's right, because the last one ended with the actual cliffhanger.
Right.
Actual cliffhanger. Actual thing from one episode means something in another episode.
What? That's crazy.
Oh, why would you do this to me?
So. But, yo, Adventures of Redbot. I have never seen... Like, there's been a lot of bad morals and, like, bad executions of lessons in Ninja Steel. But oh my God, this episode. So just to recap, because, you know, we don't need to go through this scene by scene or anything, right? No. Is that the lesson here is don't tell fibs, because, you know, that'll get you in trouble. You need to be truthful. And then what the actual episode says, though, is no. You know, you can lie as much as you want. You just got to do one good thing that everybody forgives you. That's how life works.
Mm-hmm.
F off, Ninja Steel. Like, I don't have time. Like... This episode, like, the other two were whatever. Like, I actually thought the last one was okay. This one, is the, like, I did not like, what was it, the episode where the Levi got his memories back and whatever. This was the episode where I said to myself, how did this get approved? Who sat down, read the outline, and said, yeah, this is fine. This one, from start to end, and, like, people, like, it's like, oh! It's like, because, like, the publisher guy meets with Redbot, and he's like, you're a robot! And, like, he's not, like, freaked out by that or anything. He's just like, nope, you're a robot. That's just a thing. And everybody just accepts that a robot is an author with, like, no... I mean, this has been a problem the whole season, so maybe it's just something that Ninja Steel isn't concerned with. It's just the complete disassociation from any kind of reality.
With hoverboards and machines that can turn anything into muffins and donuts and stuff like that, and a world-famous singer that just hangs around all the time and nobody cares.
So here's my thing, right? You're a robot that was a slave for how many years?
We don't know.
Could have been longer than the 10 that what's his nuts was up there, you know?
Brody.
So, well, I don't said his name correctly the first time. So we don't know. You know, you most likely come from another planet that has some other interstellar intelligence or what have you. And now you're here on Earth, and your claim to fame for you is not, let's see, maybe to go and create things to, you know, you're helping to create these ninja stars, so maybe not to, like, create your, like, actual own Zord so that you can go off and do this or, you know, cure cancer or anything. No, you want to write a blog. You want to write a blog, right? You want to have lots of people like you from your blog. Okay, so let's just suspend disbelief here that you're not that great and not that smart. Fine. Let's suspend that. Okay. So then we go through the episode where some strange man finds you.
Tracks the router to the school somehow.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then it's not even that your actual grown adult person is supposed to be like, homeboy, did you call for some man to come pick you up around here? No, he's just like, yo, some man is coming to pick. So, okay, fine. So we got two dumb people. Right, let's just suspend disbelief. Okay, cool. So then, homeboy meets up with old man, okay? To go and sign some book deal, right? With some other two fools. Okay, fine. They want to, like, get their cut of their monies and whatever. They want to, okay, with a robot they never met in their life. Okay, fine, whatever. Again, suspending. See, there's a lot of suspended disbelief, y'all. But okay,
Once you have more than one, you're already in a bad place.
Yeah.
Right? And so then when they sign the contract, though, did y'all read that contract?
No.
I glanced at it when I was watching it because I had to watch it after the fact, so I was watching it online, so I paused and I was like,
so I said, let me pause.
Oh no.
Yep.
On this contract here.
The undersigned.
Let me just pause on this contract. I gotta bring this up. I gotta get this full screen up in here. Let me scroll. Enhance again.
To make it even clearer, because that's how TV works.
All right. Ahem. Okay. Now, the contract, now I understand it's TV, right? I understand that, you know, you have
nobody
to make
sees
stuff
this.
Really, I understand. But if I'm signing a contract, right, number one, like, why in big, bold letters with some Comic Sans font, like, why am I, it's not Comic Sans, but with some big old, like, font, it says book contract, right? It's not, like, who it's from, whatever, like, you know, the agreement is between some rando publishing, you know, okay, fine, fine. And then you go in here and it's just like, you know, regular book stuff, regular things. Hold up. Wait a minute. These rights shall be granted to the publisher for a period of 5 years to the date of this agreement. Heffa, there ain't no date on there.
Is that a Saban contract?
There is no date on this contract. Period. There is none. There's a sign by, right? And Redbot signs his name with some little smiley face. You know there's a sign by, but there's no date. So pretty much Redbot is signing his life away forever.
Which like I can imagine Redbot doing, you know, he's a dumb robot. Whatever.
But that's the thing, right? You are suspending so much disbelief because you're like, robot. But then he, you know, he's from not Earth, so then you know, like, he has to be like,
can he legally sign a document like that?
On another level of thing, he might even be not fully robot. He might be like, you know, like an actual species of a thing, but you never know. But then, okay, fine, suspended that disbelief, and then you're like, okay, maybe he's just a robot. And but then, like, you think he's a smart one because, you know, he's helping out in the thing or whatever. Okay, maybe he's specific, no, he's maybe not that smart. And then, but then, like, you know, he goes meet to some old dude who's been stalking him, and then so maybe not. So, like, there's a lot. We get to suspend.
Yeah,
you're just like, okay, at some point you're just like, this is just ridiculous. This is all ridiculous. And then let's say you try to suspend disbelief one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're like, all right, he signed his life away. Whatever. You know what? That happens in real life. You know, them's the books. Them's the gigs. Them's the bricks. Whatever the saying is right now, I'm just really kind of like,
the bricks.
Heated.
The bricks.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But then, y'all, like it wasn't even like a day. Like, was it a day? How much time?
No. You remember in Ninja Steel, you can get a license in an afternoon, and much like, you know, Trent and Dino Thunder, you can publish a comic in a day. That's how the Power Rangers universe works.
Like, I mean, it probably was like the next day.
Well, all he did was, you know, repost all of his clickbait into a book form, you know. He just took all of his material from Redbot Now and threw it into a book.
I mean, you know, like, and then the book is not even like a pamphlet or a, you know, like a paperback. The thing is the Bible. They printed the Bible.
It's a hardcover book, man.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking, okay, it's a little small book or whatever. You know, there'll be some pictures in there. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Like, how long like, are these blog posts, man?
Like oh my gosh. Like is... Is this a kindergarten book? Like, it can't even be a kindergarten book because it's the Bible.
I thought it's like 32-point font.
Oh, my gosh.
Here are all of his page. It's all of his live journal entries.
Yo, man, his Tumblr posts. Like, I don't know.
And see, the big missed, I mean, besides, you know, the episode could have been written better, the big missed opportunity of this episode is that we still don't really know, like you mentioned earlier, about Redbot. Like, we don't know what he was doing on the ship, what he was built for. Wouldn't this have been great if he was writing the blog? It could have been from a place of, it's like, okay, why is he making up all these lies? Why does he not feel good about himself? Is it because of how the Rangers treat him? Is it because of how Haley was like, you're a robot, bye? Like, do something with, again, just honestly, just steal from Star Trek The Next Generation and make him Data. He's this robot that's trying to understand how to be a human, and he sees them blogging and he thinks he should do the same thing. Like, that is perfectly fine, not a problem. Also, I don't need, again, problem with Ninja, I don't need the lesson, like, shoved in front of my face with, like, Levi talking like he's talking to, like, a 2-year-old that's like, you know, fibbing's not great. I'm like... You know,
but here's the thing, yo. Like, first of all, you know I'm always going to defend Levi, so you need to back it up. Secondly, he has to talk to him like he's a 2-year-old because he acts like one. I'm sorry. He does.
What is
if you look at Redbot, you think that this is a sentient being that can, like, you know, computate some, like, really, like, intricate things, but really he's a child. So,
which would be an interesting thing to explore, you know what I mean? Like, compare this child on, like, this child robot to, like, the actual, like, child fan of Levi. You could do that as an episode, and that would be just fine. But but nope.
Besides, would you rather have Levi sit there and talk to him, or would you rather have Mick come up and say, did you really so-and-so? I don't know. I never really thought about so-and-so like so-and-so.
You know, you literally
should have so-and-so'd. Oh, thank you, Mick, for so-and-so-ing me. I figured it out.
You know, for real, anytime Levi does anything in this show, I'm like, I believe you. I would die for you, Levi. You're the man.
You better let Levi so-and-so, all right?
Yeah, Levi can so-and-so if the alternative is Mick's condescending question lessons.
Exactly.
Well, we'll get to that in the next episode. Don't effing worry.
Oh, my gosh.
What's weird is that, and I know this was not the episode's intention, but it totally could have been. Yo, this could have been, like, the greatest takedown of fake news of all time. Of all time. Because Redbots, what does he do? He's making fake news. That's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Making fake news.
And you know what? It could have been, I'm not saying that he was going to give his whole life story or whatever, but like he could have had some adventures that included the Rangers, but then like have adventures that were of his own, or even there'd be a backstory of just like, you know what? The reason why I make up these stories is because I can't remember my own past. Like, I can't even remember where I come from or where I've been before I met what's his nuts. You know what I mean? Like, like that could have been a thing.
Where did you come from, Levi? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
Shut up.
No, Lisa, you are 100% correct. Is that, again, we could have learned something about Redbot and his origins, which would have been awesome. But instead, we have a dumb filler episode that does literally nothing for the overall plot of the show. We don't learn anything about Redbot. We don't learn anything about any of the other characters.
It doesn't affect anything. Like, you could have just not watched this.
Redbot doesn't need to exist in this show. There's literally no reason he's there.
He's been for like five episodes in a row.
Yeah, for real.
He was not in for a bunch of episodes.
Yeah.
And again, that whole lesson at the end where little girl's like, well, you know, like sometimes you lie, but you know, this time you did good. And everyone's like, sign your book of lies for me. We know are filled with lies.
Like, has it ever been more painfully obvious that a character like Redbot, he literally only exists for a explanation as to why the Red Ranger Zord is what it is.
And
that
even
is
that,
why he exists.
They didn't even explain that. They just left you to infer it.
Yeah. Like everybody, he has the same value as Calvin's truck. That's it. Okay.
Because I thought you were gonna say Cody. I'm just like, no, Cody.
Cody's better.
There are
two characters I would die for on this show: Levi and Cody.
Oh my gosh. The Adventures of Redbot. And then the monster itself, I'm going to affect the books and then freeze the people who touch the books. I'm like, what?
This is so dumb.
By the way, that cat clock monster shows up in the ninja about five different times.
So we're getting meow meow again.
Oh,
don't worry.
Yeah. He shows up and then he dies and then he shows up and then his brother who looks just like him shows up and then he shows up again. It's all of the things.
Fun. Oh, fun.
Like,
oh,
I can't fun. Even, like, remember all the problems I had with this episode because they just kept coming every single time. And also, I'm going to shout out, and I just met fans. I got a message directly for you. Don't be tricked by Cosmo's blog where he mentions, like, Altarian silks. All right? Don't be tricked. Don't be tricked by that and think it's like, oh, but that was a nice reference. No, it wasn't. All right? It's like Sentai.
Wait, I'm sorry, say that again?
I did not notice that, but I figured out what you were trying to say by context.
Yeah, what happened was if you read Cosmo's blog, the one that he's writing at the end of the episode, if you zoom in on his screen, he's like, Cosmo's writing his blog, and he's like, oh yes, and I was, you know, dressed in the finest Eltarian silks. It's like, oh look, a reference to Eltar. It's like, you know, fans, don't get tricked by that. All right? That one little thing does not make up for a garbage episode.
Maybe if he had a silk head wrap, that'd be nice, but no. You suck.
Look, not I mean, listen, Cosmo, I mean, you know, he know how to dress, you know what I'm saying? He got his little thing on, blah, blah. But it's kind of, I'm not really a big fan of when the monsters or the villain base or whatever is kind of filled with jokey jokes. Like, I mean, there's a time for jokes, and I don't necessarily want to see them in the base, you know?
Unless they're going, unless they are specifically jokey villains. Like Ninja Storm, that was the thing. Lothar was a clown shoes, and that was what they always did. And that, it's like, whether you like it or not, like, if it didn't work for you, that's totally fine, but they at least went with it. With this, we have Galvanax, who's like, oh, I got slaves, and I'm really evil, and I, like, killed some people or whatever. And then you got, like, wacky fart jokes. It's like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Consistency.
Yeah. Like.
Exactly.
And I do like Cosmos because, literally, villain designs were the only good thing to come out of Tokuger. Literally. The only good thing. Because their villains all looked amazing. Their ranger suits... Not so much.
Not so much. I guess that's where they put all the budget, was the villains.
Yes.
Well, I did enjoy, what was it, the Dino Charge villains at the start, because I thought they were a fun little group of characters that were funny, but could be very menacing if they needed to be. Like Poissandra, I thought that was fine.
I think the problem we're finding is that since Neo Saban started, the main villain of every season has been getting progressively dumber and jokier, and yet they still start out the season like, here's a menacing thing, and then like the mid-season finale before they go super, here's another menacing thing, but the other 18 episodes, I'm a joke, look at me, I'm stupid here, I'm gonna do the battle games and the blogs and the time freezing, and I'm just sitting here being angry because I don't have ninja stars.
Well, that's a whole problem with Ninja Steel in general, is that it sets up such an interesting idea for itself and its villains and even some of its main characters, and then does absolutely nothing with it. It's like, why even bother?
Yeah. So Red Bot needs to just chill and not come back.
Why are you always lying?
Because, I mean, you know, like, this episode of where you're apologizing. Like, he's doing the right thing to apologize for all his lies. Okay? And, you know, the old creepy dude was going to be like, all right, we're just going to recycle all these books. You know?
By the way, he's not that old.
Look, listen. Listen.
He has a beard. That doesn't make him old.
Listen. When you creeping out of a high school,
you old man.
Yeah, but they're
you get
all
the descriptor of old.
Yeah, but they're all like 25, so it's not a big deal.
Okay. Also, you know, honestly, how Redbot's apology could have gone so much better if in the second half he just devoted way more time to saying he comes out as gay. Would have made it totally fine, right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I made a lot of mistakes. I'm gay. Hey, Redbot, you remember that Megaforce episode called Rico the Robot? Redo the end of that.
Yeah, where you go off into space, blow up, die.
Yeah, that'd be great. Do that.
Thanks.
That'd be great. And bonus points to me for remembering a specific Megaforce episode.
It was one of the slightly better ones, so. Oh, also, the episode ends with the Rangers laughing at Victor and Monty's plight. Where Mick literally is like, I deliberately did not unfreeze Victor and Monty. Just so we could, like, hang stuff on them. I'm like,
You know what? I didn't mind that. You know why I didn't mind that? You know why? Because Victor and Monty help perpetuate the lies and the deceit. And so they needed to learn a lesson. Yes, you're going to be a coke rat. And what? That's what y'all get.
Nah, dude, that's still too, like, it's still too much for Victor and Monty. It's like, guys, like, No.
Out of all of the crappy things that they've done to them, this is the least. Like,
yeah, which says something.
This is the least. Like, it's really not that serious. Like, woo. Like, they get to, like, hold other people's drinks. Woo. Like, it's okay. It's fine. Okay. Yes, no. Laughing at them as they fly away in the sky in danger, like, that's a little harsh. that's a little harsh. So, but anyway, that's Redbot Adventures of.
Bye.
Yeah. Great.
What's the next one?
Abracadanger.
Yeah.
Abracadanger. Because that's the name of the villain.
And what a time where we get that great Ninja Steel dialogue. Wow, this symbol is from Princess Viera, who's from the Lion Galaxy. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
And then you get the, yes. Oh, look, it's Princess Viera.
Isn't it great when your entire concept of creating dialogue is previously on Power Rangers? Fantastic!
Yo, I cannot, like, again, bad lesson. This isn't, like, okay, the lesson itself is whatever, but, like, the way it's set up, with, like, now, Preston, make sure you don't skip any spells, because it could be, and he's like, yeah, and then at the end, like, they have, like, Mick has the so-and-so speech. So he has the so-and-so speech, and Preston's like, oh, dang, I shouldn't have skipped all this. I'm like, yeah, no, really? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay.
Well, as a fact,
are the Rangers...
No,
are the Rangers supposed to be three-year-olds?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Of course, yes. Of course.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, without getting into all the details of the episode, Preston learns every single spell in the book in less than a day. So why did you skip things?
Yeah, specifically he says that he's like, I became a master magician. This is just like, again, like the Calvin getting the driver's license.
And like, not even like a day, like a few hours.
Yeah, it's 10 spells and he learns them all in under a day. Like, and then he's a master. Like, it's the least amount of stakes possible. And we've had a season with Rangers that did magic that skipped over to learn spell codes, and we mocked that, and this is somehow worse.
Yeah, you know... I watched Code
Breakers a million times over this episode.
Yeah, no, that's pretty not great. That's
time passed in Code Breakers.
It did. It did.
This whole, like, and
sun,
oh, God.
The sun rose and the sun set. It did.
Like, the dialogue, just like, man, you know, I don't need to do this spell. I'm just going to skip to this later one. It's like, oh, my God, just have him skip to, like, just have him, like, do, like, a really complicated spell. And all the Rangers are like, wait, what? Like, that's a number one spell? He's like, nah, this is number 20. I don't care about the rest. Like, come on. Do something. Stop with this. And then, Jer, what was your observation about the what this episode should have been about that they stole from?
Help me.
You compared it to the Battle of the Sexes thing.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. So this whole episode, like, they started out like it's this
Haley.
Wow, I did not go back and rewatch these episodes. So yeah, the whole thing, it's like Haley and she's, you know, challenging Victor for a tennis title. Like, that's the whole big thing, is they make it out like it's this big Haley match. She's going to have her big redemption. Oh, look at that. Oh, she's trying to figure this out. And then they flip it, and all of a sudden it's this friggin' Preston thing. And the most amazing thing, is, like I was talking about before, is that, like, the whole the Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs was the battle of the sexes. You know, the man versus woman. Can the woman win tennis? And the woman, she prevails and she wins and blah, blah, blah. And the episode does the exact opposite and decides, oh, it's this great female triumph. No, it's about the guy. It's about the guy. Whatever. Tennis, no, we don't care. Preston, he has to do his magic thing. That's what matters. That's what, he gets the big moment at the end. Haley, you hold this sword and stand there. Great. Awesome. Like, it's so blind to what it actually is. Like, it does, it's so unsure of what it actually is. It doesn't realize it's tripping over its own feet to make its crappy point.
Because I was really liking the whole, like, Haley thing. Like, in the beginning, I generally laughed. Because I'm just like, anytime that pretty people get to be made look ugly, I'm like, yes!
Like, we've said this before, but Haley's actress is too good for this show. She is.
Way too good.
She's way too good for this show. She is the best of the bunch by a friggin' mile.
She's like, yeah, when, like, Victor's showing off that footage of her, she's like, whatever, you know, I had an off day. It's like, oh.
Like, I've genuinely laughed.
Rehearsing that in your head for a year.
Like, I've really enjoyed Haley. She's had a lot of great little moments recently. Like, she's so much more fun than the rest of them. Why is she with Calvin? He's the worst.
For real, dump Calvin. Get with Levi. Drop that zero. Get with the hero.
Like his truck and Cody are more interesting than him. Like, straight up. He's too busy sitting over here friggin' with the greasers.
I still love Haley's reaction to that episode. She was like, yeah, he really loves them. Like,
Oh my god. Yeah.
Like, Haley is being funny, she's being engaging, she's being interesting. Calvin's over here. You didn't really fix your own car. What is that?
Also, another moment in this school where, like, Haley does not have a head. She's like a ghost person, and everyone's like, eh, whatever.
No, that happened.
No, because magic exists in this world. Like, literal magic exists. So people are just like,
whatever. Magic.
Don't go into the forest.
And then mix so-and-so lesson this week. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I want to learn tennis now. So yeah, this, oh my gosh, like, I mean, you know, the head, the what is it, what's the saying? I'm losing all my sayings today.
The head?
Beating you over the head,
yeah.
Type of so-and-so-ing that he's doing, it's just, nah.
It's too much.
Like, Kelson, you're better than this.
Like, Kelson's only purpose there is to deliver so-and-so lessons.
Mm-hmm. And then to be, you know, tragically sad about his parents and then be super okay with it 5 minutes later.
Yeah, oh yeah,
and make
sure.
Ninja stars, that's it.
That's what he's there for. More than Red Pot.
He should just give himself his own lesson. Were you really sad about your parents?
No, that would have made it all better. Where he just looks in the mirror and he delivers himself.
He just sees so-and-so and is like, sup.
So-and-so is himself.
You had a piece of bread. And then it was taken away from you for many, many years. But what'd wait, you did do? You really miss that bread? Yeah. Did you really?
Should you really forgive Princess Vera and her entire family and the planet right away? Should you? Okay.
CC
advances the plot.
We don't need Red Bot. We just need Kelson talking to himself. Yeah. I would watch that in a minute.
I want Kelson to look in the mirror and the friggin' music producer from Dino Thunder shows up in the mirror. And talks. Should you really forgive some? It's magic. Okay.
No, every just time past... he looks in the mirror, it's just a different Kelson role.
Yes.
Friggin' even Nord can show up in the mirror. I don't care.
Oh, boy.
Ice cream.
Wow. Ice cream is just like this situation. No, because, see, that would be better than their magical ninja nexus prism. He's like, I gotta go ask my past lives what I should do.
I need to go ask the Orange Ranger what's up.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. This nothing doing in this episode. Yeah. Nothing at all.
No, you can tell when we just start making a better episode ourselves. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, the abracadanger... I mean, what are you gonna do? I mean, I didn't completely hate it. I just, right. I just know that, like,
at least a ribbon didn't just fall out of nowhere and solve
everything.
Yeah.
So. Well, that might be the worst.
Like,
just
literally, Preston has had two episodes about his magic that were basically the same episode, and then he had the ribbon thing. Like, dude is not doing very well. Compared to what Yoshi had, I'm sorry, dude. Like.
Yeah, dude, Yoshi's first focus episode is better than any episode this season.
Yeah, you are Yoshi light, and it is showing.
Yeah, because, like, there we didn't need to spell out everything, you know? There was subtlety. Now it's just, like, spell out the lesson. Okay, let's go, so-and-so.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you can do this undo spell. Let's do it. Yeah, I just learned it, but I don't know if I can do it. And I did it the first time. Right, great, all right. Now I'm a master. Like, everything is just...
Also, the Brody keeps talking, and he needs to stop that.
Yeah. Brody, you got a problem. It's that whole existing thing that's going on. I'm not
this,
a fan of
this
it.
This epic. Stop.
Everything is epic.
I don't ever want to use that word ever again.
So what needs to happen in the finale is Brody dies and Levi becomes the Ranger. Actually, Levi just becomes every Ranger but Haley. And then we just have a two Ranger team and it'll be fine.
Yep.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Am I wrong?
That'd be great.
And yet the toys decide to ignore
Haley. Yeah.
Yo, like, how they just gonna decide? Because I don't know if you mentioned, but how they just gonna decide? Like, you have six figures, okay? And you think you walking up to that shelf and you thinking, oh snap, I'm seeing all the ranges. I'm gonna get all the ranges in the wait. I got all the dudes. Okay, you expect that. You got the pink one. Oh, you had the pink one in there.
Oh, that's actually kind of a surprise.
And then yeah. You get a foot soldier. You get a foot soldier?
That's
really?
Yeah, that's the thing is because Toys R Us, it's pretty common for them to do a six pack. And then they give you, like, a bonus, like, little weapon that isn't included in anything else. So that's, like, your buying factor for getting the Toys R Us value pack. And it's usually the five Rangers and, like, a monster. And they have that. They have, in the Ninja Steel, they have the five Rangers and then, like, the mole guy with the saw arms, whatever he's called. I don't care. And then they decide to do another value pack because, like, hey, let's get Levi in on this action. So they get Levi in on the action, and then they replace the monster with a foot soldier. But then to have six, they like, we gotta cut somebody. And who are we gonna cut?
We're gonna cut the black girl. Yep. Let's just cut her.
Let's cut literally the most interesting character in the entire show. Let's just cut her.
And that's so weird. I mean, it would have been bad if they had cut, you know, Sarah, right? Because then we would have been like, really? Pink Ranger? Okay, what? But like, it just seems so odd because like, if they had cut the Pink Ranger, I would have... Still would have been dumb, but I would have gotten because they've always done that, right? They always like leave pink off of merchandise. But yeah, it just seems weird to include pink but not include white.
Yeah, maybe just cut the villain. Maybe cut the especially when it's a foot soldier.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Don't do that.
Maybe not leave just one Ranger out of the equation.
Yeah, maybe you want a full team. What a shocker.
Thanks.
Yeah, or maybe. Maybe they know that the other girl figures are, you know, clinging to those pegs. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's an idea. Don't cut out one of the females, especially the black chick. Don't do that.
Just don't an idea. That.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you're bankrupt.
And that's why you have no money. Okay, thanks, bye. All right, so last
Helping
episode.
Hands. Okay, you know, I'm going to give this episode a couple props. Because when we were watching it, I'm like, every single time I was like, nah, man, they're gonna F this up. And they didn't totally F it up. It's not
a
rating
endorsement. I'm going to tell you guys right now that it automatically starts out with 2 points. Literally 2 points. For having a mom.
Right.
That we see who's alive.
Yes, a female ranger with an alive mother. That we actually get to see is a rarity indeed.
And that they actually have a character arc, and thankfully both people apologize for the mistakes they made in the episode. What?
Oh yeah, we were sitting there, we were sure that wasn't gonna happen. Oh man,
we were sure.
Well, what did you guys think that was gonna happen?
Oh, that it was gonna be a completely one-sided affair. That
on whose end?
I remember being that I would say, like, yeah, Sarah would apologize, and then her mom would not get blamed in the slightest when her mom shouldn't have, like, run into school like that. Like,
yeah, that because was... the Ranger is the one that learns the lesson. That's how it goes.
Gotcha. So you guys thought that it was only going to be Sarah apologizing and
yeah,
not
100%.
Moms.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. Where even though she's got a helicopter mom who tries... way too hard and messes things up because she doesn't stay in her lane. But yeah, I thought it was just going to totally just be Sarah going like, oh, well, first it was going to be, you know, Mick coming in to say,
so-and-so
in. Did you really have so-and-so to your mother? Your so-and-so mother tried to so-and-so you. She was just trying to so-and-so. You're right, Mick.
But that didn't happen either. Yo, like, there was no so-and-so in. It was in a different way, but, like, it wasn't the typical Mick so-and-so.
Love that's the name of it now. I can't wait for him to so-and-so during the finale.
See, when you said that, I thought that was something you would order off the value menu.
So-and-so. Yeah, so, let me get at number two, and then I'm gonna get, we got three Mick so-and-sos, yep. Extra sauce, no pickles. Hey, thanks.
Extra cheese. Oh my God.
I get like
always extra cheese with this show.
Like, look, the relationship between Sarah and her mom is like, again, so bare bones and so basic. But for this show, it's batting 1,000.
Yeah, because I mean, listen, like, I completely understand. You know, when parents want to help out more than they should, and you're like, I got it, I'm cool. I got it. And then, like, they just go a little overboard, and then you gotta lose your temper. You're like, yo, bro, leave me alone. You know, like, kind of, you know, and it happens, and you don't mean to be that way, but then you're like, I understand you're trying to help, blah, 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 whatever. But, like, homegirl was just like, I don't need your help. F out of here. You know, like, all right, girl, shoot. And then she was about to bite off, what's his name? Calvin's face off, yo.
Yes.
You know why she's acting like that though? Because you know that they made out. And she's, you know, just being like, no, leave me alone.
You know, the two bland white people were attracted to each other, so that's the real pair. While Haley is getting with Levi.
As she should. Mm-hmm. As she should. But
two
yeah.
best characters deserve to be together. Okay. Don't lie to yourself.
Meanwhile, Preston and Brody are in the corner.
Make it out a little bit.
Giving each other rusty trombone or whatever. I don't know. They do what they do.
So there's this whole plot about, like, oh, we've just run out of ninja steel, but we just got a vision of a Zord. And for some reason this week, the ninja steel star needs a supercharge for no discernible reason. Like, they could have easily said, hey, we didn't have the right amount of steel, so we need to supercharge this to get it to work. But they don't even say that. This is just, they're like, it should work, but it's not. I guess we need to supercharge. I'm like, oh my God.
That Jesus is, Christ. By the way, that's at least the second, possibly third episode where they've said, we're almost out of ninja steel.
Really? Like,
yeah, they've done it before. I know they've done it before where they said, we're almost out of ninja steel. So now we're at the
last piece, though.
Yeah. Like, you could have said, like, yeah, like, we have to jury-rig it or something because, like, we didn't really have enough to do this, so we're just kind of playing it by ear.
Or they said, we need to melt down other stars. I'm like, yeah, okay, melt down the star of the bike you're never going to use again. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You got five bikes? Do you need five bikes? The one dude has a giant yellow truck. Let him drive that. And just
one of you can ride sidecar. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know what? Just lightspeed it. All you ride in this truck.
Right? It's yellow. It works.
And then if you need another bike, just melt down another one and make another mother effing bike.
Yeah. The bikes are not that special.
So, you know.
You can do that, you know.
Like, and then the thing about it is they're just like, oh no, we don't want to melt down any of them. Like, they had like the whole table was full of stars. Like, full of them.
And you can melt down, like, a couple of them.
And a bunch of them they don't even use. Like, get out of here.
You can melt down Brody's star. We don't.
Get rid of the red star. We don't want to. How about you melt down some of those Ox Zords you don't even use? You
know? Yeah, right?
When's the last time you used the Elephant Zord? Yeah.
When's the last time you used the UFO Zord? That's the real one. Where's that been?
Did
they ever even bust out the Purple Surf Resort? They ever bust that out?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't remember that. They may have once.
Yeah, I don't feel like they ever even used that one. So. Oh, well, it'll show up next season.
Look.
With no explanation.
Look, though. But this episode, though, right? It was a better... I mean, it wasn't great, but it was a better episode than the previous ones, right?
It felt like they had a fully formed concept.
Yeah, like the Ninja Steel thing is clearly shoved in there because they're trying to set up a plot point for the finale, so whatever. But the actual, like, the A-plot of the episode is like, oh, we have the premise is Sarah's mom goes overboard and then Sarah gets mad at her. Like, okay, that's fine. Perfectly fine.
And it didn't become an episode about Preston or Brody, so.
Yeah.
That's bonus points.
And meanwhile, it's about Vic and Monty, well, more Monty than Vic, but Vic and Monty create a gadget that works.
Yeah, like, they just suddenly become relevant to the plot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little too relevant. like...
Yeah, because... Yeah. So, like, the last 2 minutes of the episode decide that the show is going to have a real plot for the first time in forever. Because, you know, Levi plot sucked. And Levi is great, but his plot was terrible. And they magnet all the ninja stars to them. And I thought that was going to be the end. I'm like, oh, Victor and Monty got the ninja stars. Oh, the show's about to get good.
I actually thought their magnet was going to be so strong they were going to attract more Ninja Steel from space.
Same. Oh my god.
Like, it really felt that's what they were going for. Also,
literally, yeah, I thought they were going to aim it at space and it would draw the Ninja Steel to Earth.
Yes. By the way, quick look at the Wikipedia. They have only used two of the auxiliary swords. So either they're skipping all that extra footage or they're ignoring the end of this episode and they're just going to pop it up later. But whatever. They only used Rumble Tusk and Astro Zord, as they decided to call them.
Oh.
Rumble Tusk. Oh, my God. Anyway. But, yeah. So, yeah, they draw all of the ninjas, the friggin' stars, just, like, rip through the side of the garage and attract to their metal detector and friggin' clown shoes. Yeah, passing
every other metal that's in there. Just bypass every piece of metal that would be in any of the trophy cases or anything. Just all that metal.
The cars, all of the scrap metal we've seen in the junkyard.
Of course. All
show, that stuff. In this show, you can transfer your memory with a frog gun. Like,
maybe this is special metal frequency or something. I don't, whatever. But friggin' clown shoes up in space just seasons like, oh, holy crap. Hey, look at that. They did the thing that I couldn't do for the last 18 episodes.
Yeah, how much does this just kneecap Galvanax as a villain even more than he has been already? That the two, like, love you, Victor and Monty, the two dumb comic relief characters get more dumb than you did in a whole season.
Like, can you imagine, like, MMPR and, like, Bulk and Skull stumble into the command center in the finale? They just find their way in there. Oh, here we are.
Not even a command center. They stumble onto the moon in freaking Rita's palace.
Yeah, like... Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's not like they were taking the whole season to get there. They literally just, you know, in one episode, just got there in a second.
Then,
you know, Galvanax thinks he's Lothor, and he's like, he makes a meta joke about it being the season finale.
It was a joke? And I'm like,
yeah, because at the very end of the episode, he's like, yes, this will be the greatest season finale of Galaxy Warriors ever. Some dumb crap like that.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Not in a winch.
Yeah. And Lothor could do it because Lothor was great. Galvanax can't because Galvanax sucks.
Yeah. Lothor's entire character was a nod and a wink. So, but Galvanax is supposed to be some super scary guy that I killed your daddy, who's going to show up in the next episode because it's already aired everywhere. That sort of thing. Like, it doesn't jive. And it was the same thing with Sledge, that's his name. Where he does nothing the entire season, and then in the premiere and in the finale, you're supposed to take him seriously because we said so. Like, come on, man! Like, consistency. Like, you have other characters. You have what's his name that you killed off a couple episodes that was tormenting.
Ripcon.
Yeah, Ripcon, that guy. You have him to do your jokes. You have a guy, a ringmaster guy, who literally is there for jokes. Why can't Galvanax actually be a serious character that gets something done, anything done, throughout the course of the season?
Yeah, dude, like, Madame Odious did more than he did the whole season.
Right? She at least had the gold star in her possession.
Yeah, she had a plan. Doesn't look like it's going anywhere.
No.
Ninja Steel. Man. Well,
until next season when Levi gets to sport that super cool duster, like.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that'll be great. Red Sword. Yeah. He'll get that! That'll be a thing or plan when she tries to turn him evil or whatever, how much ninja stuff you want to use.
But
I don't
know. You know what? I'm going to go back to something that's I liked. Okay? Even though Mama... What's Sarah's last name?
Whiteston. I don't know.
You're stupid.
Sarah Thompson. I was close.
Sarah. Okay, so Mama Thompson. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She married to a black man.
I don't think that name is inherently either color.
You know, maybe you got a little do something. Did you see Sarah's junk in the truck? What I'm saying? Maybe you got a little black. Okay. So,
but no, she actually is something. Like, didn't we discuss that?
No, she's
a mix?
From. Her actress is from Brazil.
Oh, Brazilian. Okay.
Yes. So what I liked about the mom was that, like, oh, this is where Sarah gets her, you know, her creative spirit in terms of inventing things from. It's her mom. Like, her mom likes to tinker and create things and whatever, and she's also, like, mama-like daughter. So both of them like to do smart things and tinker things, and I'm like, that's cool.
Name is Jackie. Cool. The mom's name is Jackie.
I'm going to just call her Mama Thompson.
Okay.
There's only one Jackie in this fandom.
Oh, exactly.
It's Jackie Marshall.
Oh, boy.
Do not sully this show with Jackie's name.
Wow. Know. And let the record show that...
Oh, no, sorry. I should reverse that. Do not sully Jackie's name by putting it in this show.
There you go. Let the record show that it's still not Lisa. Okay, still not... Lisa. But that's all right, that's okay, it's all right, I forgive. But
you never forget.
I'm seeing what this actress has been in,
probably in like an every New Zealand show ever.
She has been in a movie called Deathgasm.
Okay.
She was on a show in New Zealand called The Strip, which was about strippers.
Oh, hey.
Yep.
Ninja Steel's the outlier here, huh?
Yeah. She was in something called In My Father's Den.
What?
Oh, hey.
With the titles of her other work.
Uh-huh. In My Father's Den, she played a character named Jackie.
Wow. I almost imagine that they're looking at, like, you know, like at her headshot. Nah, yeah, whatever. We'll call her Jackie.
She was in episodes of both Hercules and Young Hercules.
Well, yeah, that's like required if you're an actor in New Zealand.
And Xena.
Well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Was she in Cleopatra 2525, though? That's the real question.
She was in an episode of Shortland Street, of course.
Of course.
That's...
Was she in The Tribe? Was she in The Tribe?
No, that show's all, like, little kids.
Yeah, I don't see The Tribe. I see The Broken Wood Mysteries.
Yeah, so a deep dive on this lady.
Yeah, I think we've already hit all the highlights. Is that the right word? Highlights? Lights? Just lights?
No, but okay, so here's the thing, right? Like, you know, we joke about Mick so-and-so. You know, so-and-so and all this other stuff. But the way in which Sarah realizes that she's being a douchebag is that she has a little moment with Ripcon. No, that's not his name. Redbot. Wow.
Ripcon. Oh, yeah, because she so-and-sos herself.
She does!
Yes. She does.
Congratulations, Sarah. You so-and-sowed yourself.
Because she's, like interrogating Redbot, like, wait a minute, this ninja star, so did you, like, buff it? He was like, no, yeah, I did. Did you, like, did you get the right specification? Like, no, I did. And did you do this? And he's like, listen, I did everything right, heffa. And he's just like, oh, I'm just asking questions. I'm so. And then she realizes that she's, you know.
Beating her mom.
Right.
Which is something that a lot of kids do experience, where they realize, oh, I tried so hard not to be my parent, and I ended up being my parent. I ended up embodying one of their traits that I actually really, really hate.
Right.
So, it's a good lesson because it's actually a relatable lesson to people.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
It is. Congratulations. 1 for 19. But, you know...
Like, I mean, the episode, I mean, granted, the way, like, oh, we can supercharge this ninja steel star thing for no reason. I'm thinking, no, because I thought they were, like, supercharging it so that they didn't have to throw it in the prism again. But then they threw it in the prism again.
So because the prism solves all. Prism fixes everything.
Yeah, I just didn't understand that. But.
I still love how it's a minor thing, but I always like the, did you cut it to the right specifications? Why? Because every single star you make looks exactly the same, and then you throw it in and it comes out looking completely different. They all have different patterns. It does not matter because you throw in the same pattern every single time.
Well, why don't you ask the prism that then? Huh? Because the prism is a little temperamental right now.
Uh-huh. And there's a simple explanation for that.
That line was amazing. I would take Gosei over Magic Prism any day of the week.
Why? Because he talked?
Well, that helps.
That's literally the only thing he has on the prism.
Hey. There's a simple explanation for that, and that line is classic.
Would you take Redbot or Tensu?
Tensu. 100% Tensu. Not a question.
Look how far we fall.
I liked Tensu's like one out on the town focus episode more than anything Redbot's gotten to do, I'll tell you that much.
Well, the season is young.
Is it? It's almost over. Yeah, I mean, no, it's still halfway over.
The series is young.
Yeah, it'll get better around episode 49.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, this show is living up to that old joke, because it's like, yeah, no. At out of 21 episodes, at episode 19, it's going to get good, guys. Right?
But it would have been so much better if it would have had 32 episodes. They would have figured it out.
It would have been perfect. It's amazing to me the stuff that fans will come up with about why the season isn't good. Like, I saw someone comment, they're like, well, you know, it was a bad Sentai. So, you know, if it's a bad Sentai, it's going to be bad Power Rangers. I'm like,
wow, that's been disproven a billion times in the past. I am sorry, but there are seasons that were good Sentai that made good Power Rangers. There were seasons that were good Sentai that made bad Power Rangers. There were bad Sentai that made good Power Rangers. They've
all
done
the combinations.
Everything.
Yeah, all the
They have done it all. It means nothing. What matters is the person in charge who is writing it, who is filming it, who is acting it. That is what matters.
You know what?
Ninja Steel.
Jeremy and all your logic, you need to stop.
Mm-hmm. If Ninja Steel, let's say, for example, for just a moment, that Ninja Steel... This season, like, we're not counting Super Ninja Steel, just this season of Ninja Steel is like, it's like a college class. You know, you take it for half a year, you know, fitting because this is half a season. You've been getting Fs the whole year. And then this one, the final test before the exam, you get a C. It's like, good job, you got a C, but you're still going to fail a class. Mm-hmm. Like you could ace the exam and you're still gonna fail the class.
Yep, flunked out a long time ago, Ninja Steel.
Mm-hmm. Flunked out a long time ago, Ninja Steel. Never gonna get those A's again, Ninja Steel.
I was about to say, like, you're sort of doing it like in a country twang right there.
Well, you know, I gotta channel my Levi, you know.
Like, that's right. You know, that's right. Can we get an episode where Levi sings the theme? I want to hear that.
I would kind of enjoy that. Just random Levi episode. Yeah.
Just
redo the theme for one episode.
Just shut up, because that's why. Like, that's all you need. Oh, Ninja Steel, what is there to say? It's all the same, well, honestly.
Let's rate it. Let's rate it. It's time to rate it.
Okay, I'll do my ratings first. First episode, 0. Second episode?
You can't do zeros.
You can't do zeros.
Okay, a week 1.
Yeah, a 1 for existing.
Okay, a week 1, because we do strong 2s sometimes. Yeah. Week 1.
Tristan's not here to let you do 0.75.
No B plus. So the second episode, that's a regular 1.
Oh,
and nice. The third episode, I'm gonna be really generous and give it a 3. That's on like a Ninja Steel scale.
Uh-huh,
so like,
uh-huh. I hear you.
You know, in any other season, it would be a 1, but you know, I'm trying to say nice things while I can.
Oh, okay. All right. I go 1-1-2. I don't really need to explain anything, do I? You heard it.
Yeah. One. What was the second one again?
Abracadabra.
I'm gonna say 1-2-3.
Oh damn.
Wow, you are. Have you been drinking? You been smoking the cigarettes?
The reefer. You been smoking the reefer?
Do you have reefer madness? I read about it in a little booklet once.
Because you know why? You know why with the second one is because the tennis stuff. I legitimately laughed at that.
Okay, like, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, you know. And then the Presto whatever stuff, it was whatever.
Yeah, if you removed the Presto stuff and gave us a full Haley episode, you might be like in high 3 territory.
You know how we were complaining about how they kept copying like the Dino Charge like premiere slash plot? Why didn't they copy the part where the black girl gets all the focus? You know what I'm talking about? How, like, Shelby was kind of fighting for being the main character on Dino Charge for a while? Like, why didn't that happen in the show? That would be awesome.
Because there's 2 girls.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. 2 girls.
Yeah, they were kind of forced into a corner with Shelby.
2 girls, 1 story. Wow.
Whoa.
I said one story.
That's a reference.
You are referring to? I don't know what
Oh, boy. No. That music still haunts me more than the Ninja Steel theme.
Anywho. Yeah, no, 1-2-3. 3-2-1.
What?
1-2-3.
This is bothering
what
me.
What the heck is bothering me?
Ninja Steel.
Yeah, no, and in the last one, 3, because, yeah, like I already said, it automatically gets a 2 because a mom who is alive that we see exists. And she
acts like a mom.
Yeah, and you know, like the episode didn't offend me. Like, it didn't offend me. So, there you go.
High praise. High praise.
High praise indeed. Again, put that on the back of the DVD. These episodes don't always offend me. Lisa J. Season set. Go to Walmart, kids. $5. I will get that $5 DVD set when I bring my $7 off coupon.